Hallelujah. There's a song that used to hear years ago. I can't say that I've heard it recently. And its title is God is God. And it kind of goes this way. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and He always will be God. Anybody heard that song before? He's God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. And He's God all over this floor. And then it goes back and repeats those first two lines again. Then it goes, He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God all over creation. And He's God all over me. And I kind of mixed up some of the words there. But it goes back. I know God is God. And God don't ever change. I know God is God. And He always will be God. First of all, we need to remember those words there. God is God. And He always will be God. But I want to take those first two lines and I'm going to change them a little bit. And I'm going to change the entire meaning here. I'm not talking about the rest of the song here, just these first two lines. I know sin is sin, and sin don't ever change. I know sin is sin, and it always will be sin. You know, sin is mentioned 470 times in the King James Version of the Bible. How many of you know where the first mention of the actual word sin is at? Anybody know? Now, don't all jump up at once. Where?
I'm taking a guess. Sodom and Gomorrah probably.
Where?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
No. First mention of the word sin is actually in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And it said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. This is talking to Cain and Abel here. Well, you know, they offered the sacrifices. This is what God is talking about. That's the first time the word sin is mentioned. But where does sin first show up, really? Huh? In the garden? Well, that would be what most people would think, because we think about Eve, you know, the serpent tempts Eve. Doesn't this... And we've always called it an apple, whatever it was. You know, it doesn't matter. Look at that. How delicious that looks. And if you eat that, you're going to be just like God. You know, and all of us want to be something better than what we are, you know. And she's thinking, I can be like God. I can be like God. If I eat this thing here, I can be like God. And pretty soon she chomps down on it. And then she goes over and says, oh, Adam, come here. Have a bite. We're not supposed to eat that thing. But have a bite. But we're not supposed to eat. Adam? Well, being the good husband Adam was, yeah, he took a big bite too. And everyone here knows that story of Adam and Eve in the garden when sin entered in. And they were, as a result, cast out of the Garden of Eden. But where does sin begin? Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. And it says, thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Well, when did this happen? That we really don't know. But we know it was sometime past, beyond where Adam and Eve were at and the events that occurred there in the Garden of Eden. Lucifer let pride build up in his heart. And he said, I will exalt myself above God. I am going to take over. I am going to run this place. And if you read the rest of it and you find out the rest of the story there, you find out that when he fell, he took one third of the angels of heaven with him. So it wasn't like he didn't have a following. And it's kind of interesting today, even. You look out and you find there are those folks who would be God. And they would say, follow me, I'm Jesus. Or follow me, I'm God. And it's amazing how many people will follow them. Mary and I were watching a DVD, and part of it included excerpts from a program done by Barbara Walters about, I guess it was, I don't remember what it was titled, something like In Search of Heaven or something was the program she did. And she interviewed the Dalai Lama. And he is revered by his followers as being God. They look upon him as God. And she asked him, are you God? He took his glasses off and he said, these eyes, they're bad. God doesn't have bad eyes. Well, yet his followers believe he's God. And we see this going on all the time. Pride lifts them up, itself up in the hearts of people. And pride is what causes a lot of people to fall into sin. Because the pride that they have that boils up and overflows within their hearts. So sin entered into the world. So what is sin, though? John chapter 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. In the complete Jewish Bible, that verse reads, everyone who keeps sinning is violating Torah. Indeed, sin is violation of Torah, which means the law. Even today, if we go out and we look at it from that standpoint, if you go out here and you have and you run a stop sign, you have broken a law, right? And guess what happens? If Officer John James, or whatever his name is sitting over there on his motorcycle or in his squad car and he sees you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to pay for breaking that law. You committed a violation. You transgressed the law. And sin is a transgression of God's law. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A lot of people like to feel that they're living a sinless life. There's only one person that lived a sinless life, and that was Jesus. And even us as Christians that are saved, sometimes we commit sin. Sometimes the devil comes along and we get into a situation and, man, a good lie would sure work really good right here. And we tell it. And then we got to ask forgiveness. At least I hope we ask forgiveness, you know. And there are times we get tempted to do stuff that is a transgression of God's law. And sometimes we yield to temptation. And if we say, oh, I don't ever do that. Well, Bible says we do things like that. And I know some of us seem to get tempted more than others, you know. In Exodus chapter 20, Yahweh God himself gives Moses the law on Mount Sinai. It's what we call the Ten Commandments. Some may like to call them the Ten Shall Nots. And other people today would like to call them the Ten Suggestions. And say that, oh, well, these are only suggestions. Well, you know what? I don't care who you are. And I don't care if you're the number one atheist in the world. We still go by these laws. Our law today in most of the world is based upon those 10 things. I don't care where you go. It's still against the law to murder. Thou shalt not kill. It's still against the law to do a number of these things. And our laws are based upon what God spoke to Moses all these many years ago. Sometimes maybe we need to read them once again. We have out in the front of the church here, we have some tablets that are made out of what they look like stone, and they have in English the Ten Commandments. And someone donated those to the church several years ago. And a lot of people don't want to go by the law today. And there's a lot of people in church who say, well, that was the Old Testament. We're not living under that. Some of those laws apply today. Yes, we're living under grace, but the law still applies if we transgress the law. As I said, Mary and I were watching this DVD a couple of days ago, put out by a well-known person on television. And he made this statement. And he said, if you want to build a big church, don't preach on sin. Someone else said, preach what the people want to hear. Look around at some of the mega churches today. And I know there are people out there that probably think that I'm totally opposed to mega churches. And I'm not. If you can build a mega church and you preach the whole Word of God, I have no opposition to you at all. But if you build a mega church and all you do is preach the things that people want to hear and what pleases their ears, then I have a problem with you. Because the Bible plainly tells us that we are to preach the whole Word of God and not just what is pleasing to men's ears. But if I tell you the things that you want to hear, people will come. There's a well-known television ministry, large church in Southern California, that the pastor of that church, when he was getting ready to start his ministry, canvassed the neighborhood and he asked people, what do you want to hear preached? And so he began to wrote down his notes and he began to preach what the people want to hear. I can't recall never watching his program where I heard that much preached about sin and that people are sinners. The Bible tells us that we're born in sin. So that makes us a sinner. I don't care who we are. I don't care how good grandma and grandpa were. I don't care how good mom and dad were. We're born in sin. That's what the Bible tells us. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. Well, if you don't believe the Bible, what else in it don't you believe then? It's interesting. This message has been preached by others, I know, because I happened to see a clip on some television program a few years ago of this message being preached. And I actually, in the back of my mind, thought it was preached in the 1900s. But this message, preached on July the 8th, 1741, was titled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And some folks say that this is probably one of the most famous sermons ever preached in America, preached by Jonathan Edwards. And it's a widely studied sermon. And it provides a glimpse into the theology of what was known as the Great Awakening in the 1730s to 1755. It was preached about sin. And people repented. We will not have a great awakening, I don't care who you are, unless we preach about sin. And the people are convicted of their sins and they come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And folks who are living wrong realize, I'm living wrong, I'm transgressing the law and the Word of God, and they repent of that sin. And that's when we will have a great awakening. That's when we will have a renewal. You have to let people know that sin exists. But a lot of the church today only wants to tell us the good things that we want to hear and how you can get rich. Brother Steve, you want to get rich? Give me $50 and God's going to multiply that $50 and you're going to be a wealthy man. And that's what some people would preach. Well, my wife has always had the question, if this is so true, why are these guys not sending us money so that they can get rich?
Preach it.
Sometime I'd like to ask one of them that question. I know I'm not going to get an answer, but sometimes I'd sure like to ask it. If that's the case and this is the way you're going to get blessed, then why are you not sending all these other churches money so you're not getting, so you're getting, get blessed, you know? Well, we need to be preaching not what man wants to hear, but what God wants the people to hear.
Amen.
We need to be preaching what the Word of God has to say. And they preached in the Word of God in the early church. They preached about sin. And they preached that Jesus died on the cross that they could have forgiveness of their sin. And unfortunately, in the church world, especially within the realm of Pentecostal churches, we have called some things sin that the Bible never called sin. And we have looked away from some things that the Bible calls sin and ignored them. In some places, we've told people, if you smoke a cigarette, you're going to hell. The Bible never said that. But it's okay if you go out and do some of these things that the Bible said was sin, that very plainly written in black and white in the Word of God said was sin. It's okay. And we wink at it and say, we're not even going to pay attention to that. It was sin if a woman cut her hair. A couple of you ladies in here, I'm afraid, would be lost. One or two of you'd be okay. If a woman wore makeup, uh-oh, man, she's going to split hell wide open. And I still like the words of C.M. Ward. I'll never forget those, probably. I won't even forget them after the day I die. That memory is still going to go on with me. If the barn needs painting, paint it. Now I realize you can overdo anything. And I've seen a few that have overdone it. But makeup is not going to send you to hell unless you let it. But I'll tell you the things that the Word of God specifically said is sin. If you commit those things, yes, you will be lost if you continue to do it. Now, I mentioned smoking there, and I don't want anybody to think that I want to condone smoking. I think smoking is a bad habit. It harms you, and it harms the folks around you. And yes, if you smoke, can you get to heaven? Yeah? You just might get there a little bit faster. You know? There are some things that we have to use wisdom on. According to God's word, we live in sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." A couple of children around here, a couple out being taken care of out in the front. One sitting here that's 5 years old, the other two are younger. Unfortunately, they were born in sin. And the day will come when they will have to make a decision about that situation. You say, "But that doesn't seem fair." Anybody ever tell you life's not fair? I think a lot of us here realize life isn't always fair. No, unfortunately, we as human beings have to pay the price that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. We're born in sin. And the day comes when we have to make that decision, when we reach the age that we can make that decision. Now, 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds typically aren't capable of even realizing that. But the day comes when you're old enough that you realize right and wrong, and you recognize the difference between good and evil, and then that decision falls upon you. And I know that there are some people that are born that are have problems as far as their mental abilities, and in my opinion, God treats them the same way He would a small child who does not have the ability to recognize, and God deals with them. I'll let God deal with that. Because if you don't have the ability to make that choice and you don't have the capacity to know that difference, I believe God deals with you in that. And He takes care of that situation. But when you have that ability to know the difference between good and evil and right and wrong, and some people, they get that ability at a lot younger age anymore. We have to deal with it. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death. All these things that we go around, we just had a funeral service for one of the members of this church this past week. He died. That's the only reason you have a funeral service, is because somebody dies. God never intended for man to die. But because sin entered into the world, yes, we have to go through death. We have to go through some physical problems. And some folks that may be listening to me may have great physical problems in their life. We just had prayer for a lady that's got cancer, stage 4 cancer, and now she had a brain tumor that was cancerous. Going through problems. Why? Because sin entered into the world. And even if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we still have to deal with some of the effects of sin. And we see it all around us. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we accept Him into our life and we become a born-again Christian, we can know that one day we will be free from this world of sin. And that day that has happened to our brother Ray this past week, death comes unto us. Our spirit goes on to be with God, and we're free with sin forever then. And we won't have to deal with those effects anymore. But right now, even as Christians, we have to deal with the sin that's around us. We have to live in a world that's full of sin. Romans 5:19-20 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, and the offense might abound, But where sin is abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace. Here's what Merriam-Webster's dictionary says about grace. You know, when you read the dictionary, sometimes it gives a word and it gives some various definitions of that word and it kind of ranks it on down. The very first thing that Merriam-Webster's dictionary says about grace is this: unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. That was item A. B, a virtue coming from God. C, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine grace. It is God's unmerited favor. Amen. Is what grace is. And because God looked down and saw us, and he poured his grace out upon us by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, that he could be the sacrifice for our sin. That through this, we might be saved. Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Approximately 2,000 years ago, a man whose name in Hebrew was Yeshua was marched to a cross, carrying a cross to a hillside on Golgotha. And there he was nailed to that cross. And there he gave, and the key word there is he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sin. You see, prior to that, to obtain salvation, you had to have your sins temporarily covered by the blood of the sacrifice of the animals that were sacrificed at the temple, looking forward to the day that Jesus would die on the cross of Calvary and his blood would completely cover and wash away your sins. God loved us so much that even though we're living and born into a state of unregenerated sin, and we have the potential of growing up to be some of the most evil human beings on the face of the planet, God loved us and said, I'm sending my son to die for them. That through the washing and the covering of his blood, their sin can be forgiven. And even the most vile person that's ever born on this planet, if they give their heart to Jesus Christ, he can save them. He can wash away their sin. And he can make them a new creature. And I know there are some out there that teach a theology today that when Jesus died, he died for everyone. And that's true. He died for everyone. But their theology goes on to teach, because he died for everyone, they're all going to heaven whether they like it or not. Kicking and screaming, so to speak. And that, of course, you'll see people like Adolf Hitler there, for example. And some of these other monsters that have lived in times past. And some that still dwell among us today. Yes, if Adolf Hitler had given his heart to Jesus Christ, he could have been forgiven for his sins. I don't think he did. The key thing here is you've got to ask. You've got to ask. Jesus died for your sin. Your sin has the potential of being forgiven, but you must ask. And if you don't ask, I'm sorry, you can lose the opportunity. Because once death knocks at that door and that spirit leaves this body, it's too late to ask. It's too late. The Bible tells us the story of a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. Both died. One went to Abraham's bosom. That was Lazarus, the beggar. The rich man went to Hades. There, the Bible tells us there was a gulf separating them. And I use the word Hades so you know which side he went on there. And in torment, it says, he lifted up his eyes and he could look into Abraham's bosom. They could see one another. Looked into Abraham's bosom. There he saw Lazarus and he said, Lazarus. He says, Father Abraham, send him back that he can warn my brothers. Couldn't be done. But we need to warn folks today while they're still alive. And while we're still alive. That Jesus died for their sins, that unless they accept him as their personal Savior, they do not have a bright future ahead of them. People want to talk about our futures, and we think about our futures. And let's face it, in the world that we live in today, even here in the United States of America, for some of us, in the natural, our future is not too bright. Unemployment, expenses skyrocketing. And even if you do have a job, sometimes you got to wonder, how am I going to pay for gas to get to that job? At the prices we're being, and I use this word, ripped off, because I believe that's what they're doing to us. How can I make it through all of this? But if we're a Christian, I don't care how bleak the economy looks. We've got a fantastic future that awaits us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I don't care if you've got the money of the Rockefellers, or if you've got the money of the guy who invented Facebook, or if you've got the kind of money that Steve Jobs has, who is head of Apple, I don't care if you've got that kind of money. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your future's horrible. You don't have a future. Not the kind you want to have. Oh yeah, you'll have a future, okay, but it'll be dismal. And it'll be eternal, and there'll be nothing you can do about it then. So if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my closing words to you are, accept him. Accept what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Invite him to come into your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart today. I accept the atoning work that you did on the cross of Calvary. And I want that forgiveness of sin in my life. And help me to be and to live and be the person that you want me to be. Come into my heart today. And I know there are some folks out there that'll tell you if you recite a certain little prayer that you're saved and you're going to go to heaven and you don't have to worry about anything. It's not the words that you say. It's what you mean in the heart. And you can recite words all day long, but if you don't meet them and they're not coming from the heart, they're not doing you any good. But when you say, and even in your own words, and it can be something so very simple, just Jesus, save me. The thief on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he had to say. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus, forgive me. And if you really mean it, he'll do it. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do today. And Father, I believe that somewhere there is a person who's going to listen to this message, that's heard this message, Father, that's going to call out and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart. And Father, I just pray these things, Father, that this word would be multiplied, Father, that it would go forth, Father, it would speak to hearts here and abroad, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.